There's a lot to get to about baseball, about the Brewers and big series obviously starting tonight with the Cardinals. But let's talk about the most important thing that's happened since the last time I had a podcast. Those jerseys are freaking sweet. Big fan of the City Connect jerseys here. Can't wait to get my hands on some gear. Let's talk about a sweep. Let's talk about a happy flight. Let's talk about the Cardinals. Man, things are feeling really, really good. Hope you're having a great Monday. You're Locked On Brewers.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning. We got energy. The Brewers have won three consecutive games. They've won a series. Not only that, they've swept a series over the Reds, and they are finally back home here to enjoy the fans at American Family Field at home. Man, what a long trip. A long, weird month of June so far, but they're trying to get back going. I'm Dominic Catronio. This is Locked On Brewers. Thanks for making us your first listen of the day. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online's got you covered this season with more props, more odds, and more lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. I'm the statistician for Bally Sports Wisconsin at just about every single game, home or road, giving you all the news and stats you need to know about the Brew Crew this season. And coming off of a three-game sweep over the Reds, obviously the mood is high. Everything is feeling good. We're going to start things with some themes from the weekend, some big things that we learned as far as takeaways and things like that. Not so much of a game recap per se. We're also going to just go down a status report. How's the offense doing? How's the pitching doing? What's up with the defense? Injury updates as well. And we're going to get ready for these Cardinals. Is this the biggest series of the year? It might be, in my opinion. It's going to be a big, big four-game set starting tonight and a very good pitching matchup with Corbin Burnes getting the ball against Miles Michaelis. Mind you, this is the first start for Michaelis since losing that no-hitter in the ninth inning against the Pirates last week, coming off of 129 pitches, a career high for him. See how he responds to that. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button, whether it's here, wherever you get your podcast, totally free and available on all podcast platforms and on our YouTube page. I know you've got a YouTube. You're on YouTube all the time. Go ahead and hit subscribe to us there as well. The video version is posted there. I've got the next In the Hopper coming out later this week as well. Three episodes up. Fourth one's coming at the end of this week too. Okay, Brewers take three consecutive games over the Reds. They get the sweep. They avenge that tough series loss they had last May, last month or so ago, where they lost two out of three in Cincy. 5-4 on Friday, 7-3 on Saturday, and 6-3 yesterday on Father's Day, Sunday. Winning pitchers were the starting pitcher in all three games, which was significant. Eric Lauer, Jason Alexander, and Adrian Hauser. You did not have Josh Hader available as he was returning from paternity leave, and you really didn't need him. Brad Boxberger got the save on Friday, and Devin Williams got the save yesterday. And that leads me to my first theme from the weekend, the bullpen. Really, the whole road trip. So the bullpen is currently on a stretch of 26 and a third consecutive scoreless innings. And this with only one inning from Josh Hader. The last eight games, they've gone 26-plus consecutive scoreless. Tremendous work by them. Hobie Milner, give him Cy Young votes. I don't care. He got out of that bases-loaded jam. That was incredible in the sixth inning. Milner has continued to be incredible for the Brewers. He's now 13 for 13 in leaving inherited runners stranded. That's the second most in baseball without allowing an inherited runner to score, only trailing Joe Smith with the Twins. He's also got a .53. I'll say it again for dramatic effect. 0.53 ERA since May 14th. And furthermore, runners in scoring position against him, this goes back to the 13 for 13 inherited runners left stranded, all season long, runners in scoring position, batters with runners in scoring position are hitting .071 against him with runners in scoring position. Just 2 for 28 this season against Hobie Milner. Man, what a stretch he is on right now for the Brewers. And also, I want to talk about Devin Williams. He gets the save yesterday. Nearly an immaculate inning. If it wasn't for a ground ball for the first batter of that inning, it would have been an immaculate inning. 9 pitches, 9 strikes. He got 2 strikeouts. That was awesome. Now, over his last 15 scoreless innings, he's got 24 strikeouts. And when you look at his total strikeout numbers on the season, this was in the last episode of In the Hopper, he's got 23 strikeouts on changeups now, 20 of them on fastballs. He is legitimately a two-strikeout pitcher now that he can fool you with a fastball elevated. He can get you to swing over that changeup still. He can dot a fastball at 96 and have you fooled. What a development again for Devin Williams and for the Brewers to keep things rolling right now for their bullpen. Incredible work for them as of late. Next theme I want to come away from this weekend. Got to talk about Hunter Renfro. Hunter Renfro homers in all three games, and he talked to Kurt Hogg after the game, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel writer, saying on Twitter, saying that, oh, I can't really see the ball well here in Cincinnati. I'm surprised it hit three out. He hit three laser beams out of the ballpark at Great American Ballpark. That was incredible. Second time in his career that Renfro has hit a home run in three consecutive games. And he's the first Brewer to do so since September of 2020 by a guy by the name of Keston Hira. So that was encouraging to see from Hunter Renfro that he's heating up. He continues to hit the ball well. Over these last five games, he's reached base in all five games. He is six for his last 18 with three homers. He's also drawn four walks, three of them in one game against the Mets. He's only struck out six times. The reason why it's important for Renfro to get going again, he's kind of picking up the slack that Rowdy's been having. I don't know if it's fatigue related of him playing every day for the first time in his career, but Rowdy hasn't hit a homer in his last 18 games. He's still hitting 269 over his last 18 games, but he's not hitting for the power that the Brewers were expecting out of him, at least what we saw in the first month and a half of the season. He's kind of slowed down a little bit here in June. Would like to see him hit a little more power with Renfro batting ahead of him in the cleanup spot, and then Rowdy in the five spot. I think is a great, great batting lineup for him. So keep that in mind with Renfro moving forward. Next big theme from the weekend. Jason Alexander is going to stick around. I mean, Brandon Woodruff made a rehab start over the weekend in Nashville. Good to see that he's on the way back. We have an update on that in the second segment. But if the Brewers inevitably go back to a six-man rotation when Brandon Woodruff returns, Jason's staying. He has done his job with the Brew crew right now. Jason Alexander now has had three of his four starts all go at least five innings. He's allowed fewer than two earned runs in all four of his big league starts. He's got a 2.42 ERA as things stand right now, and he got his first big league win on Saturday. He's sticking around. I look at what he's been able to do since his big league debut, very impressive, of course, with seven great innings against the Cubs, and he's responded to try and get better in the big leagues, giving up a lot of hits, to be fair. We'd like to see that go down, but not to be a sourpuss, but Ethan Small has not really responded since going back to the minor leagues. So when you look at a guy that's going to stick around right now, it's going to be Jason Alexander. Ethan Small, his last two starts since going back down to the minor leagues, he's only gone a total of 7 1/3 total innings between those two starts. He's walked six, only struck out five, and he's also allowed 12 runs. Jason's sticking around. He's earning his keep right now in the big league, so good for him. Last two things I want to look at here from our themes from the weekend. The catchers. Can we give kudos? I mean, I didn't really mention it with Hunter Renfro, but I've mentioned it on previous podcasts, saying David Stearns, Matt Arnold, congratulations. You flipped Jackie Bradley Jr. for Hunter Renfro. You gave up a couple of prospects, obviously, but not only did you simultaneously upgrade the bat immensely, but you kept the same great arm in right field. You obviously had Lorenzo Cain coming back on the team in center field as it was Stan. More on that in a second. And Tyrone Taylor in center. You didn't necessarily need Jackie in center this year. So they were ready to make the flip. What a flip for there. And how about the flip for Victor Caratini on opening day, or day before opening day, to bring him to the Brewers when Pedro Severino gets popped for 80 games for PEDs. What a flip. Look at the catchers right now. Narvaez is hitting 266. Caratini's hitting 261. Victor's got five homers. Caratini, he's got nine runners caught stealing this year. He's got an 843 OPS. Narvaez has been solid as well. He's got two homers hit. He's got seven doubles. He's caught eight runners stealing. The Brewers have the third best caught stealing rate in baseball at 36%. And they have the most caught stealings of any catching corps in baseball with 17 of them. That's a double-edged sword of like, well, why they continue to run on you. It's kind of like a cornerback where you say, well, why does he have so many interceptions? They clearly keep throwing to him. That's more on the pitchers, that they have a reputation of being slow to the plate, not so much on the catchers. They're not overly elite pop times, but their arms making up for a lot with the Brewers' arms on the mound and for their pop times not being, you know, jumping off the page. It's been great, great stuff from Caratini and Narvaez. What a move to bring Caratini in when you knew you were going to need him with the 80-game suspension from Severino. And lastly, in this first segment, the outfield outlook. Lorenzo Cain has officially been DFA'd. If you missed that, that happened on Saturday. And I want to tip my cap to the Brewers for the way they handled it and the way that Cain handled it. They did it on his 10-year anniversary of service time. What does that mean? When a player reaches 10 years of service time, his pension is officially maxed out, meaning it doesn't matter if he played 10 years, if he played 15 years, if he played 19 years, it doesn't matter. He has reached his maximum. Less than 10% of all players make it to 10 years of service time. So he is maxed out. He's going to be earning a good chunk of cash for the rest of his life starting at age 45. So congratulations to Lorenzo on what will likely be an incredible career. He has not announced his next plan yet. You get 10 days to decide when you're DFA'd like this, but all intents and purposes, it seems like this is the end of the road for Cain. We'll have more of a story on that when he does officially hang it up, but kudos to the Brewers for handling that in a classy manner. They called up Jonathan Davis and added him to the 40-man roster from AAA Nashville as your outfield depth right now. But aside from that, there is nobody else in the 40-man that's an outfielder. I know David Dahl is in AAA. He's not on the 40-man. He's played in the big leagues with the Rockies and with the Rangers. You would have to add him to the 40-man in a stretch where you're trying to get guys back onto the 40-man. Guys like Freddy Peralta will eventually be coming back onto the 40-man in August. Maybe Jake Cousins will be coming back. You also look at a guy, you know, of trying to make sure you have room for if you want to bring one of these suspended guys back in Severino or Mejia. They're currently off the 40-man, so they might be a little overloaded to add somebody else, which maybe sets the stage for a trade. I'm not 100% sure, but I just wanted to make sure we got that in here. Big loaded first segment on a great opening weekend, or last weekend, I should say, against the Reds to get things going again. They're 38-30 now, or the Brewers getting ready for these dreaded Cardinals. Let's look ahead and look at a status report before we get looking at the Cardinals. Before we do that, I want to tell you about our friends at Athletic Greens. It's so simple to incorporate over 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens into your day. It's just one scoop into a glass of water first thing in the morning. It's what I do. It helps you with your immune system, your nervous system, your energy, your recovery, your focus, your aging. All of the things can be solved with AG1. It is an absolute superfood as opposed to taking a million different vitamins and minerals to start your day. Just one scoop, glass of water, and you are good to go. It's a micro habit that's actually cheap too. It's less than $3 a day. It's cheaper than grabbing a Starbucks every single morning. And it was created when the founder was having trouble with gut health and was already doing a supplement routine, but was realizing it was like $100 a day for the supplement routine. So he created Athletic Greens after experiencing how difficult it was to have an optimal nutritional routine. Look, we all struggle with nutrition. We all don't eat the right foods on a daily basis. With AG1, you can get something into your body that is good for you, no GMOs. It's super easy to incorporate into your life. Just 1 gram of sugar, no nasty chemicals, nothing artificial, and it still tastes good. It's so simple to incorporate. So it's right now is the time to reclaim your health and your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. Just one scoop, like we've been saying, that's it. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you got to do is visit athleticgreens.com/MLB Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/MLB Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Status report. Let's look at the injury report first and foremost here. Brandon Woodruff did pitch on Saturday with the Nashville Sounds taking on the Memphis Redbirds, and he came out of it well. He reached his pitch count, which was 50. He threw 51 total pitches. He faced 11 batters. He struck out 7 of them. He pitched into the third inning against the Redbirds. So very encouraging. Everything was all systems go for him out of that. It sounds as though he'll be making one more rehab appearance, but with Appleton this week, Not confirmed on that yet. So if you're listening in Appleton and trying to get tickets to Woodruff, we don't know if that's happening for sure. But it sounds like one more rehab start for Brandon Woodruff, and they will see if he rejoins the rotation on the next go-around next week on the road, perhaps in Tampa Bay or in Pittsburgh on that next road trip. So that's one starter on his way back. Another, Aaron Ashby, you may recall, was pulled due to forearm tightness, which was later corrected to forearm fatigue in his last start against the Mets. They have not been committal on whether or not he's going to miss his next spot in the rotation, which is currently slated for tomorrow. So I'd be, personally, the fact that they haven't said anything kind of tells me that he's probably going to make the start. You may learn more here later tonight as the Brewers get ready for the Cardinals, but he threw a flat ground on Saturday and everything was fine. So it sounds like they're going to be A-okay for him to make his next start tomorrow against these Cardinals. So that's good news from there. Bad news, though, is Colton Wong is backing off from his rehab. He had a setback in his calf that he's injured right now. He was fine running, but when he was trying to field ground balls, that's when he started to feel it again. So there is no timetable right now. Maybe by the end of the month they get him going again, but another loss for the Brewers as far as not having the production out of Colton Wong they were hoping to get out of him this year. Not just with the bat, but just the fact that he hasn't been on the field here this last 2 weeks or so, and it's going to be out for a little while longer. So no Colton Wong. Back to good news. John Il Gustave has started a AAA rehab assignment. He is in Nashville right now. He's dealing with his hamstring that he's recovering from. So that's good news as he's on his way back. And finally, Mike Brasso. He won't be back until probably late June, it looks like right now, while recovering from his ankle injury that he sustained against the Cubs at the start of the month. So Brasso, still a little bit of ways to go for him too. So some quick injury updates there. Let's look at league average. Okay, I think we're all stuck in this belief like, oh, you know, you got to hit 300 to be a good hitter. You're supposed to have a 500 slugging. But that's a good hitter. What's average? What is better than most? Are you doing better than most? Well, league average, just take for a second. What do you think the league-wide batting average is right now? Just take a second. Okay, got that number in your head? Well, the number is 242. So when you see a guy that you see, oh, well, he's only hitting 260. He's only hitting 240. He's hitting 235. Well, for the first two numbers, that's better than league average. For the last number, it's like right around league average. It's hard to hit. Pitchers are good. So remember that as we say these numbers. League average for batting average, 242. The Brewers are hitting 233. Not great. I understand. Still, it's not as bad as maybe when you compare it to league average. So when you see 13th in the National League, they're still just 9 points off of league average. Next, on base percentage. Average, 311. The Brewers, 309. Just about there. Last, slugging. League average, 391. The Brewers, 400. Because they have the second most homers in the National League, only trailing the Braves. Braves are the first ones to triple digits in the NL. They got 100. Brewers have 88. Good to see from them. But yet, they're only ninth in runs scored. They have the third most strikeouts as an offense, and they're right in the middle of the pack in walks drawn. We'd like to see a little more sustainable offense going here for the Brewers. They've been shut out a ton as of late. Let's see if they can click that back into gear. Pitching-wise, the overall ERA is still fourth in the National League, despite all of the injuries and despite the bad appearances. 3.69 team ERA is fourth best in the NL. The starters, not so great. 3.80, which is in the middle. They're eighth in the National League. But relievers, they're third. 3.52. So that's at least some point of encouragement. Again, eighth in starter ERA without Freddie now for the last month and without Woodruff for the last couple of weeks. Just keep that in mind. Next, strikeouts total. They're third in the NL and only seven back of the leader. That's the Mets. So 631 strikeouts as a team, and they're fifth as a team in WHIP. That's at 1.25. Run prevention, obviously a big deal with the Brewers. The fielding has not quite been there this season. It's probably been the most disappointing facet of the Brewers this year. They are 10th in fielding percentage, but that doesn't tell the whole story. They're ninth most errors in the NL, and they have a negative defensive rating as a team on FanGraphs. While we praise Jace Peterson's numbers at third base, he's really been carrying the load right now defensively for the Brewers. Willy Adames made a tough, bad error over the weekend. Luis Urias probably should have made that play yesterday. Didn't come back to bite them. The range you lose with Lorenzo Cain now being DFA'd with Tyrone Taylor in center. There's a lot to be desired right now for the Brewers defense. You would hope that it's all improvable errors, but Colton Wong has made a couple of boneheaded mistakes at second base, which is very unlike Colton Wong, not the guy that you were expecting to arrive. So would really like to see the defense get tightened up here down the stretch of the first half to see what these Brewers really have coming up here as the pennant race will start to heat up soon. Okay, the time has come. Talk about those dreaded Cardinals. Before we do that, you can go back to BetOnline and check out the futures on what the preseason numbers were on who they're going to win the Central, the Brewers or the Cardinals, who's going to win the pennant. You can see all those futures, your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. They've got NHL playoffs up there. They've got Major League Baseball. Of course, the finals are over. You've got NBA draft about to happen. Everything's available at betonline.net, your number one source for everything, the fastest and easiest way to check out all your favorite sports, events, including MMA and boxing, even golf. Shout out to Matt Fitzpatrick yesterday. That was awesome watching the end of the U.S. Open. Congratulations to him at the Country Club. That was a whole lot of fun. Head to the website today, betonline.net, where the game starts. The Brewers have now made it through their three-city road trips. This last one, they went 5-4. In the middle one, they went 6-5. And in the first one, they went 4-5. That is a total of 15-14 on those three consecutive three-city road trips. You are lying to me if you say you wouldn't take that. Then you throw in the context of all of the injuries, all of not only on the pitching side, but on the offensive side they've had to deal with during these three-city road trips. The fact that they finished one game above 500 during these three hard road trips, all you got to do is be 500 on the road and win series at home. That's how you win divisions. The Brewers got back on track with that. And what I look at, and we, you know, Brewers fans can't get too greedy here on June 20th, pointing at the standings, saying, oh, look, all tied up with the Cardinals. Cardinals were talking smack. I know they were this past week. Look, it's still June 20th. This is still a massive four-game series because you won't see this team again until August. You won't see this team again until after the trade deadline. Both teams could look different. Maybe they won't, but they could look different. That is why this four-game series is going to be massive. When I look at the Cardinals, obviously no Yadi, but look, Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt are still absolutely tremendous players that the Brewers are certainly well aware of what they can do to a team and what they've done to the Brewers in their careers. You got to take care of those guys, but their bullpen is a little tough right now as far as, you know, getting guys, finding guys to get the job done right now for St. Louis. I mean, Paul Goldschmidt's hitting .344 on the season. On top of that, Nolan Arenado's hitting .275, but he's got 13 bombs. Goldie's got 16 bombs. Tommy Edman, who's been in a thorn in the Brewers' sign, he's hitting .285 with a .788 OPS out of the leadoff spot. He's got 15 stolen bases, Tommy Edman does, tied with Harrison Bader. They're a good team. This is going to be a tough task. Probably not going to see a lot of Albert Pujols, given the fact that the Brewers, well, you maybe see him twice because Ashby and Lauer are going tomorrow and on Wednesday. He's really only facing lefties these days. So that would be good news for the Brewers to not see Albert Pujols again. The Cardinals and the Brewers being tied in the standings right now means nothing. It means nothing. Talk to me on Thursday to see where things stand, what the Brewers are able to do, because I know they don't have Colton Wong, but this offense is pretty much healthy. Let's be honest. You can't really use that excuse that much anymore. It's been a couple weeks now for Renfro and Adames since they've come back. Urias is healthy. It seems like the thumb's getting better. Yelich has been healthy the whole year. Rowdy's been healthy the whole year. Narvaez and Caratini are fine behind the plate. You are pretty healthy. This is a huge chance for you. You don't have the pitching, obviously. You would much rather have Woodruff and Peralta available, but they're not. That's the reality. Can you take 3 out of 4 from the Cardinals? Then we talk about standings on Thursday. This is the official kind of, maybe we start peaking. I personally think you don't look at standings at all until July, until you're getting ready for the second half. But this is when you start peaking. I'm like, what did the Cardinals do today? Oh, cool, they lost. That starts happening. Not incessant. Okay, they're in the sixth inning. They got runners on second and third. There's two outs. I got a chance to score some runs here. Oh, man, who's up? Oh, man, it's Goldschmidt. No, we're not doing that yet. Okay, we're not doing that yet. And also, please, do not hit the panic button if the Brewers lose tonight. It's a four-game series. It's a four-game series. There's a lot to figure out. There's a lot of season to go still. And Tim Dillard brought up this point yesterday. Through 68 games, the Brewers are in the exact same spot they were last year. 38-30 and tied for the lead in the NL Central. Doesn't that feel like eons ago? The Brewers, in fact, after game 68, they were coming off of getting swept at home by the Reds. Do you remember that? It's crazy to think about now. But the Brewers are exactly where they're supposed to be from a year ago. And you can still argue they haven't even played their best baseball yet. They go through this ice-cold June that they're still in right now. And the Cardinals could not separate themselves. Your floor is pretty darn high. It takes a lot of teams to match that floor. Now, the Brewers have to deal with these two guys and potentially, two all-stars in Goldschmidt and Arenado. But aside from that, I mean, this top four is pretty darn good between Edmund, Goldschmidt, Arenado. Maybe you'll put Carlson up there. Maybe you'll put Brendan Donovan, who's been really good lately. Tyler O'Neill hasn't been as good this year, but he's still a power threat. Nolan Gorman's been coming on strong. Of course, he had that great game against the Brewers in St. Louis last time these two teams met. The Brewers are going to need to keep up, is what I'm saying. If the run prevention isn't there like it's been this season, they're going to need to keep up, and the bats are going to need to continue to stay awake here during this stretch of really good baseball that they're playing right now. I mean, they're getting offense. They're getting hits. They're doing their job as far as, getting runners on and getting them over. Yes, they hit a ton of homers this past weekend, but we're seeing a little more sustained offense. We're seeing doubles. We're seeing walks. We're seeing actual game plans right now of just getting it in play and moving guys over right now. I mean, look at the game yesterday. Brewers had 8 hits and also 6 walks. Very encouraging signs right now for the Brew Crew. You look at the end of this road trip right now, of the stretch that they're on with the offense, that they're hitting double-digit hits in 3 of the last 4 games going into yesterday. 11 hits against the Mets in the last 2 games, 11 hits on Saturday against the Reds, 8 hits yesterday. The offense is coming around, so maybe a home-rocking crowd can get them going. Pitching matchups, Miles Michaelis and Corbin Burns tonight. Man, that's going to be fun. Michaelis is 5-4, 2.62 ERA. Burns is 4-4, 2.52 ERA. Tomorrow, Jack Flaherty will make his second start since coming back from his shoulder strain that he sustained during spring training. So Flaherty made his first start last week at home. He'll be going up against Aaron Ashby as it's scheduled right now. We'll see if that changes tonight. Adam Wainwright gets the start on Wednesday. That'll be against Eric Lauer. And then on Thursday, the day game, Dakota Hudson going against Jason Alexander. This is a big stretch because you're going to face 3 consecutive teams that are lurking for the playoffs. These 4 games against the Cardinals, 3 games over the weekend against the Blue Jays, then you fly down to the Trop for 2 games with Tampa Bay before you head back up to Pittsburgh. This is going to be a big 9-game stretch here for the Brew Crew. Can they go 6-3 and get greedy and get more than that? Even 7-2 if they can find a way to do that. That'd be sick, but you can't expect that on them. 5-4 is good. 6-3 would be phenomenal. That'd be very, very good right now for the Brewers. So hope you tune in. We'll see you on Bally Sports Wisconsin tonight. And before we go, Brew Crew City Edition City Connect jerseys. Those are awesome. I'm a big fan. The grill patch, the details. I'm kind of wishy-washy on the hat. The more I look at it, the more I like it. The MKE maybe could have been a little softer, but I love the 414 hidden element in it. I think that's really, really cool. The color scheme's great. I know some people are saying maybe you should have done powder blue pants as well. Maybe do it next year. I don't know. I'm a big fan. I think they're going to be sweet. I can't wait to get my hands on the gear. Big, big fan of it. And what I say is, when you see on social media, folks who are not fans of the Brewers say, oh, these are the best, or oh, these are the worst, that means you did something right. So kudos to the design team on these. I can't wait to see everybody out and about with them on around town. And let's enjoy some hot, hot weather this week here in Milwaukee. Brewers and Cardinals. Wow, what more can you ask for? Some playoff atmosphere type games in June. This should be a lot of fun. Hope to see you at the ballpark. Until then, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.